The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 27th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear from Dave Dickey. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news. And, oh, don't forget that this half hour, we'll hear from the state statisticians in the Corn Belt. The crop, well, it's looking good. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at $3.78 and a quarter, up 9 3/4 for the afternoon. September futures at $3.94 and a half were up 8 3/4. In the corn pit, July contract $2.25 and a quarter, up 2 1/4. September's at $2.36 and a half were up 2. December at $2.51 and a quarter, up 2 1/4. And the March futures in the corn at $2.63 even, we're up 1 3/4. July soybean futures $5.78, 8 1/2 higher. August contract at $5.85, up 9 1/2. And September futures at $5.92, they were up 9 3/4 for the day. November beans at $6.03 and a half, or 9 cents higher. July wheat, by the way, in Kansas City settled at $4.93 and a half, up 9 1/2. Bean meal futures, July contract $173.10, they were up 1.20. July bean oil 70 higher at $25.14. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle $117.55, they were up 42 1/2 cents today. June live cattle 77 1/2 higher at $86.07 1/2, and July lean hogs down 15 cents at $73.85 for the day. The outside markets, July crude oil $71.93, current trade up 13 cents, the CRB index at 336.99, down 0.38, and the dollar at 86.47 unchanged. The Dow at 10,948, down 96 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's coming down to the wire. This is Station Manager Jay Pierce, happy to report we're making progress toward reaching our listener support goal of $900,000. We're just $81,000 away, but we must receive those final $81,000 by the end of Friday if we're to maintain the level of service you expect from us in the coming year. So call 217-244-9455 and make a contribution to keep WILL a strong local service to the community. Thank you.
On behalf of your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, and myself, Todd Gleason, we encourage all our listeners to call now at 217-244-9455 to help us reach that goal by Friday of this week. Speaking of Friday of this week, Wayne Nelson on the line of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Big day, USDA release in its acreage report Friday morning. Everything all built into this marketplace, or do we have some volatility yet to come, Wayne?
Well, if you've watched the last 2 days, I think there's volatility this week that we weren't, even more than we were expecting, with very little change in the weather today, Todd. But yes, the big report is out Friday. Average trade estimates, corn acres at 79.748, bean acres at 75.166. That way, the highest trade estimate on the corn is an 80.6, and the highest estimate of the beans is a 75.8. The lowest estimate for low acres is 79 even on the corn and 74.2 on the beans. And to can do that, we have to look back at the March estimates, what the government said. We were at 78.019 on the corn and 76.895 on the beans. So, that's quite a bit of difference of what we're looking at on some of those numbers, Todd.
But most of those are expected to be built into the trade by now?
Well, you would have thought so. You know, like I say, there's not been a lot of discussion about them other than, you know, we really punched those numbers back in when Informa put their estimates out here a little over a week ago, and they run the high side of everybody. But we've had a lot of talk, and I think that most everybody has plugged somewhere from 1.2 to 1.4 million acres switch in.
And is there anything that producers really need to be doing at this point except sitting on the sidelines and waiting for this report to come out? I mean, those that are hedgers as opposed to those that are speculators.
Well, I think that, you know, the last couple of yesterday we made, you know, new lows for the move, and today we bounced back dramatically. It looked on the chart like we should have been just pushing on down and pushing down hard. But we seem to have some resilience in this market. The wheat, after the crop ratings were so low, real strength or instigator of good moves here, Todd. But, you know, like I say, I guess as we're looking at things here, the weather is definitely up in the air. The weather forecasts are not verifying, or they're very the different models are coming in with a lot of discrepancies past the 4th of July. And we know it's generally the week of the 4th, the week after, where we start seeing some real decisions being made because of weather and how these markets tend to move.
Given all of that, yesterday's crop progress report showing really good crop of corn across the Midwest.
You know, traveled a couple states to a wedding here over the weekend. We saw some of the best corn we've seen in some areas for 30 years and some of the worst corn we've ever seen in some areas for 30 years. So there's a great variance out there. I think that, of course, the crop reports get a wider scan and looking at things than what I did in my little trip. But, you know, Indiana definitely is not one of the prime areas of good-looking corn. But we did see a lot of areas in Illinois and Iowa that did look quite good.
A couple of things that probably producers will be thinking about longer term, of course, is ethanol production and how much of it will be coming online, how soon it'll be coming on. I was online. I was looking at some numbers today from the Renewable Fuels Association. It seemed to me that there were 34 new plants, maybe, and 7 processing facilities of some sort, about 2.2 billion more coming online by 2007. That'll chew up something like 1.2 or 1.3 billion gallon or billion bushels of corn. And so those are due to come online in the next couple of years. The guess, of course, will be when exactly all that happens. I think we saw something like a couple of those, several of them, in fact, will be in place by fall of next year.
Yeah, that is the big thing. I think we have been very eager to estimate the amount of usage. You know, are they on schedule? Are they online? Will they be coming on? When they're thinking, will they be online for, you know, how many months of the year of that year as we're looking at? And I think that that's a big thing. We've got tremendous differentials on how what our weather is to what our carryout's going to be carrying into those and what we're looking at. And it's going to be very very much a weather market from here on in, Todd, as to looking and seeing whether our production is going to be, you know, in the low tens or up towards the 11 billion bushel mark, and that will make quite a bit of difference.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us today. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Jay Searle says tonight across the two-state region, skies will be mostly cloudy, scattered evening showers, a few thunderstorms, the low around 60, winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, patchy fog early, otherwise partly cloudy. Some isolated thunderstorms will be possible. Highs near 80 tomorrow. And the northwest wind at 5 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a chance for some showers and thunderstorms. The low of 60, this for Champaign-Urbana. Thursday, partly cloudy, a bit warmer. Some isolated thunderstorms. Thunderstorms are possible with a high near 83. Dave's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency announced Monday that it is banning cattle tissues capable of transmitting mad cow disease from all animal feeds, pet foods, and fertilizers. The rule goes into effect on July 12, 2007. The CFIA says the enhanced feed controls addresses potential contamination that could occur during feed production, transportation, storage, and use. Meanwhile, back in the U.S., the National Renderers Association says it opposes a similar proposal now under consideration that could potentially ban specified risk materials from cattle older than 30 months in animal feed. Officials at the NRA called the new Canadian rules regulatory overkill. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is looking at a comparable plan. The NRA also says smaller U.S. renderers are not equipped to remove specified risk materials and that tighter rules will increase the risk that more farmers and ranchers would attempt to bury or improperly dispose of dead animals due to higher rendering fees. The Canadian rule could have a significant effect on the U.S. pet food industry. The House Ag Committee held the latest in its series of Farm Bill field hearings in New York on Monday. 10 different agricultural producers, mostly representing specialty crops, testified before the committee. Brian Noland, a vegetable producer from Long Island, New York, was among the specialty crop producers testifying. And if you think $4,500 an acre is a lot of money for corn farmland, you should hear what farmland goes for where he operates.
With land, you can imagine all the people in New York City that there is still a viable agricultural industry on Long Island, and there is, and we've had a successful program. But land values in farm country, $100,000 an acre is nothing. And out in the Hamptons, $1 million an acre is nothing. So it's very, land is very tight, and we want to keep the agriculture on Long Island. Agritourism, there's a whole bunch of benefits to having agriculture on Long Island. So anything you can do to increase the funding, farmland preservation, we'd appreciate it.
Iowa Representative Steve King says he now has new appreciation for what Nolan faces.
I want to say, first of all, to Mr. Nolan, you've destroyed one of my basic tenets of agriculture here this morning with your testimony. I have said for years that the solution to our problems in agriculture are more dollars per acre. Now, you figure out how to do that, but that's the solution until I find out $100,000 an acre or $1 million an acre. I'm not sure I can hold that this far northeast in America. So that's something that really does is a stopper to me, and I appreciate that perspective and the struggles that you go through in that area.
The House Ag Committee holds its next full hearing this Thursday on the role of agriculture in the renewable fuels market. That hearing takes place in Washington, D.C. And in its first analysis of pork since 1991, USDA says the six most common cuts are now on average 16% leaner and saturated fat has dropped 27%. The Checkoff Fund study was released yesterday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. There you can sign up for our weekend newsletter and pick up all the daily ag programming, including Commodity Week, which airs at 11:30 on Saturday mornings. It's our weekly review of what's been happening in agriculture.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Up next, the Crop Progress Report from the USDA was released yesterday afternoon. We'll hear from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. USDA says this week 71% of the corn crop is in the good or excellent category. In fact, the excellent category up 3 percentage points from last week, from 16 to 19 a year ago. That excellent category at 15%. This week, soybeans considered 13% excellent, 54% good. Last week, 12% excellent, and 55% good.
This is Brad Schwab with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 25th. Statewide precipitation was slightly below normal last week, with only the northwest and east-southeast districts receiving above normal rainfall. Some areas of the state have not had much accumulation during the last 3 weeks, as precipitation has been spotty. Along with above-normal temperatures last week, topsoil moisture supplies declined to 8% very short, 34% short, 56% adequate, and only 2% surplus. Taking a detailed look at the crop progress numbers for the week, corn silking has just begun at 1%, compared to 3% 1 year ago and 5% for the five-year average. The average height of all emerged fields came in at 44 inches, 1 inch taller than last year, and 5 inches taller than the five-year average of 39 inches. The tallest corn was reported in the Southwest Crop Reporting District at 56 inches. Overall, corn condition showed a slight decline from last week and was rated 1% very poor, 5% poor, 22% fair, 54% good, and 18% excellent. Soybean emergence reached 98% compared to 99% 1 year ago and 95% for the five-year average. 4% of the state's crop was blooming compared to 10% 1 year ago and 6% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean blooming was the Northwest District at 9%. Statewide, soybean condition held steady with a rating of fair to mostly good. Soft red winter wheat harvest made excellent progress at 65% complete. This compares to 64% harvested 1 year ago and 57% for the five-year average. The second cutting of alfalfa has reached 38% complete, trailing last year's 43%, but ahead of the 28% five-year average. In other crops around the state, sorghum planting reached 92% complete, 21% of the oat crop was turning yellow, and the first cutting of red clover is nearing completion at 94%. This is Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending June 25th. Thunder showers were reported across the state, along with reports of hail and wind damage to some crops and buildings. Where possible, farmers continued to spray corn and soybean fields for weeds. The first cutting of hay near completion and the winter wheat harvest gained some momentum. Topsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 9% short, 64% adequate, and 26% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.37 to 3.89 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 96 to a low of 46 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 4.1 days were rated as suitable for field work. 99% of the corn acreage has emerged compared to 100% last year at this time and 99% for the five-year average. Corn condition was rated at 57% good to excellent, up 1 point from last week. 97% of the soybean acreage is planted compared with 100% for last year and 97% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 100% was planted in the north, 98% was planted in central Indiana, 90% was planted in the south. 93% of the planted soybean acreage was emerged compared with 99% last year at this time and 94% for the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated as 59% good to excellent, up 2 points from last week. Harvest of winter wheat acres is 24% complete compared to 26% last year and 30% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated as 78% good to excellent compared with 66% last year. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana Mass Field Office.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the crops and weather report for the week ending June 25th, 2006. Light showers across the state were welcome. In some southern counties, it was the first measured precipitation since the first week of May, and more rain is still needed to replenish subsoil moisture. Cooler days have helped conserve moisture, and most of Iowa's row crops look surprisingly good, but hay is light and pastures are short in dry areas. Some areas with plenty of precipitation for row crops complain of poor hay quality due to too much rain. There were 5 days suitable for field work last week compared to 5.7 days last year. Spraying crops and haying were the primary activities during the week. Subsoil moisture was rated 16% very short, 27% short, 54% adequate, and 3% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 16% very short, 29% short, 59% adequate, and 2% surplus across the state. The statewide average precipitation was roughly 1 inch, or slightly below the weekly average of 1.08 inches. Oats headed was 93%, an increase of 21 percentage points from last week. This was equal to last year and 9 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. Oats turning color was reported 11%. Oat condition was reported as 4% very poor or poor, 16% fair, and 80% good or excellent. Corn condition was reported 4% very poor or poor, 18% fair, and 78% good or excellent. The soybean condition was rated as 5% very poor or poor, 21% fair, and 74% good or excellent. This has been Joe Persaki with the Iowa Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 25th, 2006. Wheat harvest made a strong start last week with 12% cut, about 5 days ahead of last year and average. Irrigated corn fields rated 78% good or excellent, while dryland corn fields rated 62, both below year-ago levels. Soybean conditions rated 66% good and excellent. 4% of the fields had bloomed, ahead of last year and average. Sorghum conditions rated 60% good and excellent. Second cutting alfalfa was 25% complete, well ahead of last year and average. Alfalfa conditions rated 5% very poor, 15 poor, 40 fair, 35 good, and 5 excellent. Pasture and range conditions rated 15% very poor, 29 poor, 38 fair, 17 good, and 1 excellent. This has been McCager Thompson with USDA's NAST Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAST Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending June 25, 2006. Crop conditions improved slightly as scattered showers increased topsoil moisture supplies across the state. Rainfall totals ranged from 1/3 of an inch in the north to over 1 inch in some locations in the south. The first cutting of alfalfa was nearly complete, while some producers in the central region were beginning the second cutting. Isolated areas of Carver County sustained heavy hail damage as a storm front passed through the area on the weekend. The average temperature for the week was 66.7 degrees, 0.2 of a degree below normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 6% very short, 21% short, 70% adequate, and 3% surplus. Corn grew an estimated 10 inches to an average of 28 inches tall as of Sunday, June 25th. This was 10 inches taller than the 5-year average height. Soybean height was estimated at 8 inches, 2 inches taller than the 5-year average height. 82% of the corn and 79% of the soybeans were rated in good to excellent condition. Spring wheat was 90% jointed, compared to 66% for the average. Spring wheat headed was 67%, compared to 24% for the average. Spring wheat was rated 63% in good to excellent condition, up 5 percentage points from the previous week and up 4 percentage points from last year. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending June 25, 2006. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. In just a couple minutes, we'll talk with Don Day about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Republican gubernatorial candidate Judy Bartopinka says she'll release her economic strategy for the state next month. In the meantime, she's assailing Governor Rob Blagojevich for what she says is Illinois' bad jobs climate. Topinka says federal labor statistics show the state lost 3,800 jobs last month, but a Blagojevich spokesman counters the state's unemployment rate dropped in May. Third-party candidates have turned in petitions to run for office in two East Central Illinois legislative districts. Joe Parnaruskas plans to run against Judy Myers and Mike Frericks for the 52nd State Senate District seat under the Socialist Equality Party banner. And Green Party candidate Tom Abram is running for the Illinois House against incumbent Naomi Jacobson and Republican challenger Rex Bradford. The United Way of Champaign County says it set a new record in its 2005 fundraising campaign. President and CEO Tammy Lemke says donations exceeded the $2.9 million goal by $40,000, thanks to an increase in individual giving. She says that's allowing them to increase funding allocations for the second year of a two-year funding cycle by just over $1 million. The Taylor University student who was mistakenly believed to be dead following a van crash says she doesn't remember the couple who cared for her for 5 weeks, thinking that she was their daughter. Whitney Sarek's family weblog says Sarek was visited last week by Don and Lisa Van Ryn. Officials at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange are hoping to launch new products to meet the demand for hedges against weather-related risk. Felix Carabeo is the Merck's director of alternative investment products, and he says just under 400,000 weather derivatives contracts have traded at the exchange this year. Bishop James Peter Sartain is taking over the Roman Catholic Diocese of Joliet today. The lifelong Southerner was chosen to replace retired Bishop Joseph Imish in May. The Joliet Diocese is roughly 30 miles southwest of Chicago and serves Roman Catholics in seven counties, including Ford and Iroquois. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agriculture weather forecast is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about weather here in the Midwest, please.
Well, it's going to be rainy, or let's say the chances of rain, best along the central and eastern areas of the Corn Belt. Much like what we saw and what we talked about last week, those western areas like Iowa, central and eastern areas of Nebraska, northwest Missouri, and eastern Kansas still going to be lagging behind a little bit with the chances of precipitation not as high. Temperatures, warm, but actually not very hot at all, and maybe even a little bit below normal as we head into the next 10 days.
Yeah, kind of cool here, 77 degrees, I believe, outside the studios at WILL for the day. We didn't get a lot of rain here in east central Illinois, certainly in Champaign County. Last week, out of those passing rain showers, many producers would like to have a few raindrops.
I think, so, of course, over the course of the next two or three days, the chances are there. But as we usually see with thunderstorms, when they don't have a front or a storm system to get organized on, they just kind of pop up in a haphazard basis. And it's a roll of the dice on who gets the rain and who doesn't. But the chances are there, especially over the next 2 to 3 days, for some thunderstorm activity. But those temperatures at the warmest only reaching the low to mid-80s, even all the way through early next week.
If you had to put a percentage in terms of coverage area, how much will be covered by rainfall, do you think?
I would put it in the 30 to 50% range.
Yeah, so it's fairly low likelihood that your field's going to be rained on in the next couple, two
there
or three
days.
There
will be half smiles and half frowns.
Indeed, there will be. Tell me about other areas around the world. I see the Ukrainian harvest. It looks like it's going to be about 2 percentage points better than most had expected at 33.4 million metric tons. They had pretty decent weather this year after a rough start.
Yeah, and although it is looking a little bit dry in some areas of the Ukraine, that is one part of the region over there that will probably have some fairly decent chances of precipitation, near normal temperatures, and a continuation of good growing weather.
I should go back and say that last year they harvested 38.02 million tons. They had a tough time getting the crop in the ground this last past fall, so they've had a rough go of it, although the weather's gotten better in the Ukraine. Any place else around the globe we need to check in on?
China is looking pretty moist. Most of that country going to be looking at good rains, if not a little bit too much in some areas. And here across the United States, we'll continue to be warmer and drier in the west. And those western Corn Belt areas are still going to be looking at slim chances of rain, or at least not as much.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
No, sir.
Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joining us on this Tuesday afternoon for the closing market report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets, and that you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to WILLAG.org. One other thing you can do on that website is pledge your financial support to this radio station. Everything that we will spend next year needs to be in the bank by this Friday. We're running about 80 grand short. So if you've not ever given to this station, it would be great to do that now. Better if you make a phone call at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL to pledge your financial support to the radio station that brings you ag programming 6 days a week. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.